Welcome to the emergency meeting, Reverend Hurricane Dorian. Update, Mitch Cooper. Alright, we're here once again to discuss the fate of the hurricane for Berkeley County. We've done this several times. I'm no stranger to this, so should be able to do this pretty quickly. This is the latest update. This was at 2 p.m. Where it's located off the coast of Florida. It started to take its northwestward turn, and it is now traveling at 5 miles an hour. It set off the coast of Florida, only moving about 1 mile an hour this morning, so we're really hesitating to say anything about what was getting ready to happen. We did have a meeting at 10 a.m., trying to get prepared and get things moving, and some of the things have changed since that meeting, but we're going to make all of that in stone just after the meeting this evening to get our final update. When you stay on the first page, you see the track, the eye comes right off the coast of Hatteras. It's supposed to stay off the coast of Hatteras, so we should get the western side of the storm. And they're looking at heavy storm surges down there. Our rainfall is on the second page, where we're now in the 2 to 4 category. This morning we were in the 4 to 6 category, and up to 2 inches possible. Can't say that we'll change back to 4 to 6 inches because of the calmer air. That is, 200 miles at the projection. So it could vary, it could easily vary 50 miles off course, and either affect us even worse or affect us less. So we have to be very fluid throughout the situation. Our biggest concern right now is the tropical storm force winds. We know that we're going to see some winds. We're trying to pinpoint when they're going to start. We're in the 40 to 50% category of city winds, and that's a 39 mile an hour wind to a 74 mile an hour wind. The next page starts a 48 hour track chart, which you can see that we should start feeling effects from Dorian starting September 4th tomorrow afternoon at 1 p.m. And I want to say that that's a little bit of rain, a little bit of storm, nothing that we don't endure any type of storm. Our major issues and impacts are going to start Thursday afternoon. If you go to this printed out right in the center of where the changes are, so between the two pages, you can see that Thursday afternoon, we're going to start to ramp up in wind speeds of 24 miles an hour. It should max out just above 50, but by 10 p.m. Thursday night. So that's kind of giving you a target of when the worst is going to be. We're going to start seeing rain and a little bit of wind tomorrow, nothing out of the normal for us. And then Thursday, we're going to start seeing the tropical storm impacts come into the county.
What kind of surge expectation are we going to have?
We don't have a surge expectation for Berkeley County yet. They have one down at southeast because it's in the 3-day range of 4 to 6 feet, 4 to 7 feet. They do not have a model yet for northeast North Carolina. That would be worked on after our 12 o'clock update, and we've not received that yet.
Okay. What was the typical surge when we started flooding?
Well, you can see surge has never been a huge issue for us. Surge is an issue for us because it won't let rainfall flush. Our rainfall is what hurts us the most coming through the cat shop. That's right. If we get anything over 9 inches of rain, then we can start to see flood. We need to stay in that 6 to 9 inch range. If we start getting over 9 inches, we're going to start seeing water under. But as usual, our Shy River was very, very low. I didn't even put it in this document because it was so low. There's no projection of any flooding on the Shy River as of right now. The Roanoke River has no projection of any flooding on it right now. our rivers can handle the rain. The rain we're looking at getting right now, if this thing stays on its current track, we're not concerned about the rain, not at 2 to 4 inches of rain.
So basically, the overflow, if you think about the river, it would be man-made in case they somehow get more rain up there and fills that lake.
Yeah, the track of the storm is not even looking to go to Virginia. So okay. It would be on there just because they felt like releasing on that.
Right.
As far as a shower, it's going to affect Windsor and that area. Right now, with the projections, the flood is not a huge issue unless that track changes. If that track changes and we see that 15 inches of isolated rain, then yes, we have that potential. But we're not looking at the 20 inches of rain like we look at Matthew. But we are looking at winds being category 2 and Matthew being 1. So surge is an issue because it can't flush. So it may hold your shot back. But it will not hold your shot back if we can't handle it, the 2 to 4 or 4 to 6 inches of rain. We will see flash flooding, which is different. There's three types of flooding. Flash flooding, when it starts falling, and it falls within that 12-hour window of 6 inches of rain, there will be water on the roads, there will be water in the ditches that are holding it back. Once it gets into the Gashaw, it flush out and goes to the same. But as long as the sound surge stays low or stays at that range and the river is as low as it is, we should be able to handle that much water easily. All right, the final two pages are a tentative schedule. Tonight at 6 o'clock, we have a partners meeting with all of our fire departments. You know, we invite Highway Patrol, the hospital. We invite big business there, too, also, that have been affected by our changes with our state of emergency that we declared this morning at 9 o'clock. Starting tomorrow, we'll do a partial activation of the EOC. That will be in the Sheriff's Office conference room, and they allow us to use two offices there. We'll have their direct lines of communication, and we will come out of the building here, my office, and everything moves to the conference room. Tomorrow at 12 o'clock, we have a state conference call for another update of what the track will be doing. Anthony and his guys, the Katie guys, have been working hard this morning with Victoria and Crystal preparing stuff for shelters. We have shelter supplies ready to go and be deployed. It'll be deployed tomorrow afternoon inside the shelter, awaiting when we pull the trigger to open. We want to prepare tomorrow for our media coverage. It is important that we stay on top of this storm because of how fluid it is and make sure that our residents know where our plans are. We plan to do that through Facebook, our internet, and our reverse call system through HyperReach. We've already started conversations about damage assessment. We're going to start conversations tomorrow about donations because we know they're probably going to come if we get affected. Donations management is a big task once the storm has hit. Prepare for short-term housing. We pulled all of our documents from Matthew and started looking at houses that were either bought out, abandoned, and never returned to. That is key for us if we do go into a flooding situation and we do not endanger responders coming in from other areas to go to houses that are unnecessary to check. So we're making sure that list is correct. Started conversations for debris management. We have a contractor that will stay in either Greenville, Washington County, and Newport. They're ready to go at a moment's notice. We just got to make that phone call. Our debris management works really well in Berkeley County. We pick it up from somewhere, go directly to the landfill. It's no stop and go. It's directly to where it needs to be. It's handled one time for us, which helps us when we go for FEMA reimbursement. I also have up here to prepare for a FEMA response. If FEMA was to come in Berkeley County, just like they did in Matthew, they take up a big footprint. They take over, you know, they'll need buildings to operate in, and we need to make sure that they have the proper area, but we also need to make sure we have our proper area so we can establish the government and open it back up as soon as possible. 9-5, tentative schedule is that I will suggest to the superintendent to close school for Thursday and open shelters by noon on Thursday at the latest.
Mr. Manager, where are we going to be at with the boys?
We'll judge that as we get closer. Most likely shut down on Thursday.
Okay. And 9-5, I really want it to be the EOC's operating. I don't want people on the roads and with things in place and ready to go. If we get sustained winds at 50 miles an hour, we call back emergency services and downgrade. Or we can't respond, so we're trying to get everybody to the place that they need to be as soon as possible.
What are you going to do as far as stopping vehicles, as far as being on the road? What speed, mile per hour?
50.
50. So, Jeff needs to know that for them.
Yeah.
Okay.
So as of right now, our state of emergency is in effect. It has no restrictions on curfew, alcohol, or firearms at this time. We did that this morning so we could start to call in for equipment. As we see what the needs are for the board and what the sheriff suggests and what he would like to see, then I will update that and have it signed and sent up to the state and we can put it in place. That's a fairly easy document to update, and we can take care of the press releases to make sure it's known. But we didn't see any need to put in a curfew this early, but we did see a need for it early to start getting our supplies, and we're already delivering, hopefully, tonight, our water and lanes. I got up here, you know, we want to continue to track that and demobilize as fast as we can. Just as soon as we put it on, we'll find out how we can send it home. You know, the whole resources are tied up and stuff. No longer
from the state's coming to be here. Charles Tripp will be in here.
I have no assistance from the state coming up. We have started training up our own staff through the ICS and through FEMA, and BRT should be with Haley standing for 72 hours.
Do you have anything that you don't have?
Right now, I think we're in a good position. We're still working on some things for the EMS station as far as the generator, but we have one that was mobilized for us. You know, it's one of ours. We're going to hook into it. So we have power there. We're actually discussing what our schedule is going to be. We typically operate on a 24-hour schedule, but because of the call demand and the shortage of staff, we're going to go to a 12-hour shift and rotate 2 days in and out 12 hours. That way, there's, you know, we don't want any fatigue or any, you know, possible call anybody, a patient or one of our staff members for the storm. So we're taking a step back and looking at redoing the way we're scheduling just for the storm so we can operate 110%, no questions asked. Right now, I think everything's good. We've had a good conversation with the school system this morning, a good conversation with the sheriff's department. So we're just kind of sitting back waiting to see exactly where this track is going to go.
Is there an update on the HTM facility?
The HTM facility is our, we have a verbal agreement today. We're going to lease it by the day for $300 a day, just like if anybody was to use the building. I'll start that tomorrow and have access to it. And then any assets that come into the county that need somewhere to sleep or eat, we'll just put them in the building. And I requested to have it building through Friday night or Saturday morning. So that's secure.
For us, the local evacuations, is it still an if that we evacuate some people or not just yet?
Not sure. Are you asking about the shelters?
We need shelters, people in mobile homes.
Okay. As far as the county ever calling for an evacuation, we do, in history, we've always done a voluntary evacuation. We've never done a mandatory. Last year, when we had Florence, the governor's office called, asked about doing a mandatory evacuation, and that's something we were not in favor of because we know people are not going to leave. By doing a mandatory evacuation, some counties will not open shelters. They will not open them so people will leave. We'll leave. We have the access to do a CREST plan, but in this situation, that's a little aggressive. We can handle this with our shelters. And they will open Thursday. We're trying to pinpoint what time. So they will have somewhere to go within their region. We will have Burke T High School. We will have West Burke T. We will have Coleman. They will have food and water for 3 days. If for some reason we lose complete power and can't use what's in the schools to cook, we have the MREs, we have the water, we have the generators, we have lights on the site, we'll have drop cords, and we will have fans.
When do you anticipate your first reverse call to the public?
Probably sometime tomorrow. I really need to pinpoint down some times.
You're going to tell them about the shelter, availability, and that kind of
thing. That's right. That's really going to be the key point for them, is there's a lot of information in here, but as far as the public's concerned, our key points for them is their safety, their survival, until the storm's over with. All this in here that I've got about the group management, the donations, that's all for y'all to know that we are tracking, we are looking ahead, and the forecast are in. So, but tomorrow, when we sit down, I'll talk to, you know, Mr. Sauer, Mr. Vaughn, when we pinpoint exactly, yes, we all agree that this is the time we want to open that shelter and pull that trigger, then we will start building the leases and everybody's Facebook page.
Mitch, you mentioned the CREST plan. Can you outline what the components are in that?
The CREST plan is a very aggressive move, which is something we're not even close to considering right now. It was first time it was ever used was during Florence, down in southern North Carolina. So what would happen during the CREST plan, if we looked at this size storm taking a direct hit or greater to a size Florence storm, we would ask to open up shelters in inland counties, which would, I think our first county would be Nash County, and then we would look into going to Wake County. Now to do that, we have to have a mass transportation system, which we would have to either trigger with another school system or look into our own school system and get the drivers and bus the people out. And if we were in a storm of that size and that magnitude, looking at that big of a plan, we would have started that. We would have been there Saturday. That's a huge take on. It works, but that's a 5-day process in itself. It's good to have, and Bertie is in that plan, but we don't feel there's anything we need to be concerned about with this one.
How long have you got them operating on?
We have one that's in operation, one that's out of operation. It's currently at the National Guard Armory, but we do have, we put our name out verbally to tell them that we are considering a Swiftwater team hit the range change, a high water vehicle with National Guard assets to operate it, a four-wheel drive ambulance with National Guard assets to operate it. We would look for special event channels to operate so we could communicate with everything coming in. And we're looking for additional law enforcement to manage the shelters.
You anticipate the evacuees from there and out here?
Typically, we didn't see any during Florence. Our shelter population, we had the highest population during Florence than we had in the history of Bertie County using shelters from before I started, the data I could pull. And I can't remember exactly what it was, but about 200 people. So we're stocking every shelter for 75 people. So that's, that should handle everything that we need. During Florence, we had some issues with cots and getting some things out. We called for additional resources, but once the wind gets too high, then we can't get resources out on the road from the transport companies that are contracted through the state. So we've got all that mitigated. We have enough cots now and enough water. Don't worry. I think when we get our final shipment today, we'll have like 5 pallets of water in-house. That's 72 cases. That'll carry us for a while. 72 cases of pallet. I mean, we're sitting pretty good if something happens. And like you mentioned earlier today, getting ice is not an issue. That's a pretty simple task. So, that's a luxury in some cases, but ice will be easy to get.
And where does that come from?
Purdue. It comes in palletized, it's not bagged, but we run by the hardware store, get some shovels, we move it a lot like that, pretty simple.
Hefty yard bag for the road.
Do what?
Hefty yard bag.
Yeah. So, but I ask that everybody be fluid with this. Tomorrow morning, the track could change some, it could change in our favor. And I ask if it does change in our favor, to people are going to start calling and saying, are we still doing it? My answer is we're going to continue on our track just like we're doing right now. We're not going to scale back. The only way we're going now is to scale up. So until this storm is north of Hatteras and heading east to Iceland or wherever it's pointing at right now, I plan to stay in the same boat. So
we're doing pretty much like what we did before.
That's right. Yeah. We were very fortunate for Florence, and I hope we're that fortunate this time. That 50 miles could shift back to the west, and that could change our entire ball game.
Anything else?
Any other questions, concerns?
Dick Thompson pulling all his boats and apparatus out from New York's house. I get nervous. He's
well, I tell you what, it's a big difference between Julia, Matthew, and now. When we met,
one time with Judy, your voice was a little shaky. And now, well, it's going to be. So I appreciate, you know, you feeling so calm about this.
Sure.
Well, like I said, so that makes me feel safe.
When we started, we get kind of used to this. Yes.
It's funny she brought that up, because they even said this in the news, that the citizens in Florida, they dump sand and all this, they all have given bags by the state, and there's all these citizens out there, little kids holding the bags, and they're filling the bags, and they ask one man, they said, you know, are you worried? He said, no, not really, because we're getting bags done, and for the neighborhood, and we're just getting everything set, we need to get it set. And, you know, we've done this drill so many times now, it's kind of like, we're the things. So, experience is a good thing. Exactly.
Yeah.
But
now we had the phone with the Miss Flat.
Well, we talked earlier, Mr. Baseball, we're all very thankful the library hasn't had to go through yet again. Another removal of all the books, all the computers, and all the children. I'm sure Nancy Hughes is resting much more comfortably now that she's on high ground at the shopping center.
And EMS is resting.
Yes.
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 My folks are probably going to be spoiled this year by having to sleep in old schoolhouses and watch the rain come into the roof.
Oh, yeah. So yes. It's going to be way different this year.
And we greatly appreciate that. We're very fortunate, and that was one of the things we were doing as we talked about it. We took a hard look at what has been destroyed in the county. That we don't want to send responders out looking in houses that are already condemned and no need for us to be there. We want to make sure they're protected. And, you know, through the buy programs and mitigation and good communication that we, you know, plan, like I said, start tomorrow, maybe we can get them, hey, maybe I need to take a day to go stay with my father, my mother, my mom. I don't know everybody wants to go stay with me anyway, but, you know, let's be smarter about this and let's not take chances. So, we're going to keep hitting it as hard as we can, and I'll keep information going to these two guys, and they'll keep y'all updated. And if anything drastically changes, y'all be the first to know, you know, following in. But right now, I feel very comfortable with the way we got things set. We've had some good conversations with the state. We've had very good conversations with our surrounding counties. We've all touched base, and we know what each other needs. So.
Any other questions?
Right now, we just need to deploy the command center.
No, this is the type of situation that probably will not really. That'll stay in house. This is too big of a situation to do that. Now, if we had an issue, if we spawn a tornado out of this or something like that, and it affects a consolidated area of Berkeley County, to scale down and get out of the state of emergency for the rest of the county, then that is a possibility. But being that it's going to be a countywide event and stay with it, then we'll operate directly out of the EOC and Sheriff's Office.
If some of the surrounding counties get hit, especially east worse than we are, do we have agreements with them to respond? Do we wait till we ask them?
We're under the state new treasurer for the entire state. They started sending out emails Thursday about us going to Florida. And, you know, as we talk about, we are short staffed with paramedics. And the first thing we got to do is protect home. But we are watching and having the conversations of when this thing is over, will we do another like Florence and end up getting deployed to another county? And that is a possibility. So we'll talk to our group, our regional group, as far as ambulances, and it is a possibility that they'll ask me to go to the EOC for another county. But that won't be until we terminate our operation. And they understand that. And one of the benefits is, like talking about bringing in state resources to help with the EOC, because we're not screaming on the phone asking for that resource this year, is leaving more of the available for down south. They are going to get hit worse than we are, there's no doubt. But because of the training and the advancement we made since Julia and the things we've done, I feel very comfortable about staying on our own. If we need it, we'll call for it.
Anything else?
I feel comfortable about standing here.
Me too. Okay, thanks, Commissioner, for the report.
Thank you.
Last week, several of us attended the resiliency funding and recovery meeting in Greenwood. Commissioner Wesson was with us, and there were quite a few interesting comments. I mean, we all took great satisfaction on the Burton County as the largest project funded by Goldwater. But Casey Ginsburg, who I think everybody knows, who's been our program manager, shared that there are grants for faith community situations. And I think of the church that's over across from Mr. Gatlin's house that was flooded out where we sold all the pews and the carpet out. So there may be a way to help some of those locations that maybe didn't get any FEMA or had insurance.
One question that we asked, we didn't ask, we discussed, guys, was whether or not you can get reimbursed even if you've already come in and mitigated stuff. You can.
Yeah, Casey said you can.
That's the great part. And we had to talk to Edgewood again, too, even though they're not planning to use that building. You never know. I mean, if it was, if they were going to sell it for another use under a man-made church, they might be able to get funds to help improve it for another use. They cannot use it as a meeting place. It shows it's not allowed them to do that. But it's out there. It's a building. They've got a good bit of money, too.
Was there any other conversation about commercial?
Nothing in addition to what Chris Hilbert shared. You know, he's submitted all of our commercial projects or impacted facilities as part of the unmet needs to the state. And he's optimistic that as they loosen up a little bit on the Florence funding, that maybe some of that could come back to Burton County. That list also included Toby's Lane, the mobile home. There just wasn't much assistance for rental type problems. So Chris is pushing really hard on that.
Okay. Anything else? Flies are crazy.
Once again, you're a passport.
One more thing, though, is that you've got just talking to some of the other commissioners and people who are there, and their experience compared to our experience. Maybe, you know, because we've been through this a few times, it's clear that we, you know, are kind of way ahead of the curve. We have always been ahead of the curve. Some people, you know, they took a long time to get started and get moving. So kudos to you and the staff. I mentioned everybody else. Because, we're pretty mature.
Well, the fact that the elected board works with your partner, the election, I don't think that's a huge difference when you have elected officials that
right.
Cooperate.
I have a close relationship, but that's a real plus.
Like more you are forced to practice those when you're over.
You have been to that?
Me? I'm the same with the auditors. When you talk about auditing, that if things are not done correctly, that they can be separate 12 years later. And we have to be a chance.
Okay, the deal work session is going to be a closed session for sure. The Department of Statutes 143-318.11, personal transitional operations.
We probably need to wait until 4 since we had advertised that for 4. So yeah.
That's what I've been doing.